Blog Talk Radio.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 9 years, we've been asking the franchipreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Matt Miller of School Spirit Vending, and School Spirit Vending is focused on providing hassle-free, year-round fundraising opportunities for as many schools across the country as possible. I'm going to talk to Matt about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews, so stick around because we have a great show.
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 9 years, we've been asking the franchipreneurs of One One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Matt Miller of School Spirit Vending, and School Spirit Vending is focused on providing hassle-free, year-round fundraising opportunities for as many schools across the country as possible. Hey, Matt, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I am doing great, Marty. Thanks for having me on, man.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Matt. We always like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning, Matt?
I'm actually in San Diego, California this morning after finishing up a couple days at Social Media Marketing World out here.
Oh, wow. God bless you, Matt, for being up this early. I really appreciate it. Hopefully you're drinking some coffee if you're a coffee drinker.
We're good. Thanks.
That's fantastic. You know, this was an interesting, you know, I've been following you for some time now, Matt. You know, and when I learned about your concept, I said, wow, I said, you know, this is really interesting. And we've been doing the show now almost 10 years, and I don't think we've ever had a vending concept on the show. And, you know, and then I read about your story, and I just thought it was very interesting and typical, you know, how someone kind of becomes an entrepreneur. You know, maybe we could talk a little bit about the history of School Spirit Vending and how you got the whole thing off the ground.
Yeah, so I was a Air Force pilot for 9 years and went to the Air Force Academy for college and did some pretty cool things in my early career. But one of the things that I found out along the way is that I didn't like being told what to do. And the military is not a really good place for that.
Sure.
So I thought, you know what, once my commitment is up, I'm going to get out of flying. I'm going to jump into the corporate world and do my own thing there, get paid more money, et cetera. And so I made a transition back in 1998 and worked in the medical industry for about a year and a half, and then started working as an advertising executive in the direct mail space, and did that for about 10 years. Well, what I found in that space was that, yeah, I got paid more money in many cases, but the rules were always changing, and they never seemed to change in my favor.
Right.
And I guess being a little bit of a control freak, I decided that I needed to do something on my own, ultimately, so that I would have more control over it all instead of relying on somebody else. So I started doing some stuff on the side, just trying to make extra money to make ends meet because our family was in a pretty crummy place financially. And after several different businesses and after having read Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and his whole concept of passive income, I had a good buddy of mine from church one Sunday that mentioned he and his young daughters had bought a couple of gumball machines, and he was teaching them about business, and it was something they could do together and that type of thing. And I was like, you know, a gumball is only a quarter, so you got to sell a heck of a lot of them to make a big impact financially. But the margins are astronomical, and the machines do all the selling. So once the machine is placed, I didn't have to be there. So I started originally in traditional vending, candy, gumballs, toys, stickers, that type of thing, and built up a pretty significant business part-time outside of my corporate career down in the Houston, Texas area. Well, then 07 and 08 hit, and when the market tanked, many of the people that were frequent in the locations, the restaurants and the nail salons and the karate studios and all that that I had business in weren't going there nearly as frequently. And when they were, little Johnny and Susie weren't given as many quarters to put into my machines.
Right.
And I had four young kids come knocking on my door in the span of a couple of weeks, selling me stuff door to door for their local school, raising money. And I was like, man, I've got kids that age, and there's no way I'd let my kids run around the suburbs of Houston unsupervised, knocking on strangers' doors. Maybe there's a way we can tie vending into school fundraising. It would provide a more stable foundation financially for me and my family, and we could get some kids off the street. And so the whole idea of doing custom stickers for schools and putting sticker machines in those schools was kind of started at that moment. And I had a good friend who was an elementary PE teacher who was able to get me in his school down in West Columbia, Texas, down on the coast, southwest of Houston. And we began testing this thing back in October of 07. And the thing just blew my mind. And so from there, we set out trying to figure out how to get the word out to schools. And fast forward to today, we've been doing this thing for 8.5 years. We've only been a franchise about 9 months, but we're in about 2,000 schools in 30 states, and we've raised about $3.5 million for education doing what we do over the last 8.5 years.
It's an amazing story, Matt. I love this story. You know, we also have, we have a little boy, you know, 8 years old, and, you know, it always disturbs me as well, you know, and I think that was the spark, you know, when I was reading the story of how, you know, these four young children, you know, came to your door, you know, asking for money for their school. I said, my God, I said, you know, in today's world, it just seems so dangerous, you know, so I got it, you know, how everything just seemed to kind of fit together for you at that moment, you know, and that was the spark. And fundraising is always seems to be a challenge for schools, isn't it, Matt? My wife is dealing with that right now, and it's not easy, is it?
No, and there's always a need. I'll give you a great example. I was up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, working a trade show with some of our franchisees here back in December, and I had a principal come up to me, and we got to talking about our program, and I said, what would you use our program for? What would the funds be for? And she said, lice kits. And I said,
again?
She said, lice kits. She said, we've got so many donors that are wanting to give money for technology, and it's earmarked as such. To our kids have iPads and this and that and everything else. She said, but a lot of the basic needs no longer have funding. And for me and my school and the population, I need to have lice kids. Because there isn't a budget for it in the district.
That's incredible.
So, it's crazy some of the needs that are out there that our program fulfills. You know, we don't replace all the fundraising a school does, but we're a supplement. And we're year-round, where all these other fundraising companies are typically event-based. Folks come in for a week or two, they do their thing, and then they're gone. Well, we have a permanent residence in the schools and have a relationship there that very few companies do because of that.
That's fantastic. If you were at a franchise show, Matt, and, you know, when someone came up to your booth and, you know, the typical question is usually, you know, so what do you guys do? Or are you a vending operation? How do you typically respond to that person?
You know, we provide hassle-free fundraising for schools. And we show families how to develop secondary passive income streams outside of their professional career.
That's fantastic. Is technology used in your business, Matt? I mean, it seems like it's a low technology type of business, but I'm sure it's maybe used to some extent.
Well, man, there's a bunch of things that we do today, Marty, that we didn't do when we started. You know, one of the reasons why I'm out here at Social Media Marketing World is to stay on top of all the technology, to make sure that we're doing the best we can for our franchisees. But as an example, in support of our team, one of the things that we do, I'm actually a podcaster myself. I do two podcasts a week for our franchise team only.
That's great.
So they're private podcasts. They're specific to us in our industry. We bring in outside experts. We interview movers and shakers in our business, share best practices, and that type of thing. So as a great example, I utilize a podcast platform and the technology required for that to better improve the community, you know, because our team spread across the country. And I was finding that a lot of the printed material that I was providing in the past, people are so busy that to take time to read a 3 or 4 paragraph blog post even is problematic for many. But they can listen, like you know, they can listen to a podcast doing just about anything.
Right.
And so it's brought our team closer together by me being able to do that. You know, we utilize a variety of, you know, drip campaigns, you know, and that type of thing to help promote what we do, not only to franchise prospects, but to prospective schools and existing schools. So there's a bunch of those types of things we do. We also, in this last several months, have started providing audio and video commercial content to our schools to help promote our program to the kids in the school, to where our audio commercials can be played during morning announcements. And, you know,
That's
the
great.
Videos that we've put together, you know, we're working to create even more community and more relationship with our schools along the way, and utilizing technology as the vehicle to do it.
That's great. I think that's brilliant. What have been some of the popular items, Matt? I mean, does it vary depending on the state and where the location is? But what have been like some of the most popular items that have been sold through the vending machines?
Well, we purely do stickers. We have pencil machines as well.
Mm-hmm.
Many schools
right.
have those, but we purely do stickers. You know, we've got the licensed stuff in many cases. You know, NFL, Star Wars, that type of thing. But really where our bread and butter is what we call our legacy or our evergreen products. They're products that over the years we have found that the kids just absolutely go nuts over. And they're products that we have literally developed from the ground up. We control
wow.
the printing and the manufacture of, et cetera. And they're products that aren't tied to a movie or a time of year because
right.
something's going on in society. So we can keep going back to them year after year after year and continue to see comparable results. The power of that to our franchisees is the fact that we alleviate a lot of the risk on the product front because
right.
most of the stuff that we offer is stuff that has years of proof behind it.
Right.
And so they're not potentially buying something that's going to sit on the shelf and not be purchased in their schools.
Yeah, and the customization aspect is fantastic as well. I mean, that's what people like today, don't they, Matt, is having something customized to their needs.
Well, in the world of 3D printers and all that today, I mean, that's the way everything is going.
Sure.
And one of the disappointing things in the vending space, bulk vending space of where we're in, is there's very little of it going on. People continue to do the same old tired things year after year after year. I don't know why that is. I guess people have gotten comfortable where they are.
Right.
But I feel like it's my job to earn my living every single day. So in the process, we're always pushing the envelope. We're always trying new things. We're always rolling out new programs to ensure that our franchise team and our schools are getting the absolute best that we can provide them along the way. And for the franchisees, helping them be as wildly profitable as they can doing what we do.
That's great. The industry, I mean, I guess it's safe to say, Matt, that, I mean, your industry is a pretty big industry, isn't it? I mean, if you look at, I mean, the whole United States market alone, and when we're talking about schools, I guess it's safe to say it's a pretty big market, isn't it?
Yeah, it's daunting, to be honest. But it's exciting at the same time because,
sure.
you know, we're working with a ton of schools already, but there's a ton out there of opportunity. And that's what we're seeing as we've got franchise prospects lining up is the excitement to be a part of what we do, the excitement to give back to their local community and their local
right.
schools, but also put together a business that they can build as a family to teach their
sure.
kids entrepreneurship along the way. It's a pretty cool place to be.
It's like a family business too, isn't it, Matt? Like you were saying, you know, I mean, you can really get the whole family involved in the process, can't you?
Well, to give you an idea how literally that is or how literal that is, Marty, my son Zane, when we started the company 8 and a half years ago, was 10 years old and he was our first graphic designer. I started paying graphic designers to do the customization for our schools.
Right.
And I realized real quickly how expensive that was going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bought an iMac. We bought the Adobe suite. My son Zane ended up spending 2 hours mowing the lawn of a good friend who was a Hollywood commercial editor and trained graphic designer in exchange for 2 hours of training on Photoshop and
wow.
Illustrator. And then we just created and provided an environment for him to learn over the years in the process. Over half of the graphic design that's been done for our business over 8 and a half years, Zane has done. His sister now is involved and does the same thing. He now does design work and app design and web design for companies all over the country, not just ours. And he's 19
that's
years
great.
Old and a sophomore in college
that's
with
amazing.
All that real-world experience under his belt because we gave him an opportunity as we encourage the opportunity with other families in the team and their kids to be as involved as possible as well.
That's fantastic. They're going to be running the company one day, aren't they, Matt? 20 years.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, that'll be up to them, really. But,
sure, of course.
We sure hope so.
That's fantastic. You were talking about the franchise prospects, and that's really, I mean, the majority of our listeners, Matt, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. I mean, in doing the show 10 years now, most of the people that listen to our show, you know, they want to get into franchising. What types of characteristics, then, do you look for in your franchisees, Matt?
You know, I'm looking for somebody that's obviously a go-getter. Mm-hmm. We're looking for somebody that has at least a couple of days a month during the school day that they could be in and out of schools in their local area to start. They don't have to be somebody that does what we do full time. In fact, I discourage
right.
that to begin with, because vending is a completely different animal, unlike
mm-hmm.
a restaurant or something like that that demands, you know, somebody's life. That's not the case with vending. So we encourage folks to do this, you know, as a secondary income stream. Eventually, it has the ability to become a full-time income stream for those that choose, on a part-time basis in many cases. But, you know, somebody who's a go-getter, someone who's willing to talk to people and willing to get out of their comfort zone, maybe a little bit on the front end, and learn new things about the educational environment and of course reach out to people in the schools or what have you, because we have to go to them, unlike a
right.
restaurant or what have you, where people come in to that location. We actually have to go out into the community and develop relationships there. But that being said, we've got a very diverse a group of folks on our team. We've got anything from 18-year-olds to folks in their mid-60s, some
wow.
of them professionals, some of them just doing this exclusively and kind of a little bit in between.
Right.
And so it's pretty neat to be a part of all that with these folks.
It doesn't seem like it's a hard sell either, though, Matt. I mean, when you think about, you know, the benefits, you know, that are provided through your service, it doesn't seem like it's a hard sell. You know, I mean, once you're kind of in there and, you know, talk about who you are and what you do, it seems like and I'm probably maybe simplifying a bit, but it's not a particularly hard sell, is it?
I've been selling for man, 20 so years of my life. It's the easiest
yeah.
selling that I've ever done. And most people, Marty, you're like, well, I don't know, I've never done this before.
Right.
And I mean, we're literally offering the schools free money.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, and there is a paradigm shift in some folks, especially when we enter a new area, just
mm-hmm.
because they're not used to something like what we do. They're used to those
right.
big events. But once they overcome that paradigm shift, you know, we've got folks all the time just telling us, hey, this just makes too much sense.
Sure.
You know, why wouldn't we do this?
Exactly. I guess that's part of the training too, Matt. I mean, what's the training like for your new franchisees? I mean, once, you know, you decide you like them and they like you and they want to come aboard, how does the training work?
We've got a three-pronged approach to that. We first off have an online School Spirit Vending University
mm-hmm.
where they get a lot of the basics to begin with. We have an intensive training down in Texas at our headquarters southwest of Fort Worth, where folks come in for a weekend and we spend a 12-hour day really diving deep into what we do and how we do it. And then we also match them up with a mentor for 6 months. And that mentor is a veteran on our team who has
mm-hmm.
spent many years doing what we do. Part of that mentorship program is the fact that that mentor comes and spends a couple of days in that new franchisee's territory, helping them get things off the ground, helping them share what we do to schools in their area. And then they're the one that is kind of the sounding board and the one to go to for questions and all that stuff for their first 6 months, and provides the support and mentorship and coaching needed for these guys to get off their ground and get successful and up and running as quickly as possible. We just, as an example, in the last couple of days have had mentors up in, you know, Minneapolis area,
mm-hmm.
the Columbus, Ohio area. I'm making a trip to Indianapolis here in a couple of weeks And in those cases, we go by a bunch of schools one day, and because there happens to be a trade show, it makes sense for us promoting what we do in those states as well going on. We'll also work a trade show with those folks for a day and get the word out. I know yesterday we had a show in Columbus, Ohio, and we had over 120 schools come by excited about our program
wow.
in just a day.
That's great.
You know, of being there for them to come by and learn and hear more about what we do.
That's the benefit too of getting into franchising, isn't it, Matt? You know, is you know, the mentorship, the training, the support, you know, the sharing of best practices, all of those things, isn't it?
Well, it's taken me 8.5 years to figure this stuff out, and I've
yeah.
done a lot of stupid stuff along the way, as have
yeah.
a lot of other people. But the power of the franchise is the fact that, you know, the newest franchisees on our team have a shortcut to success if they're just
mm-hmm.
willing to follow what we teach them. Because we've made the mistakes and we've simplified the process for them. It's just a matter of them implementing what we teach and then taking this to whatever level they choose to.
That's true. They don't have to make the same mistakes, you know, that, as you mentioned, you know, over the last, you know, 8.5 years that you've made, and also share part of the same successes, you know, that you've had as well, which is of course fantastic. One of the questions we ask someone like yourself, Matt, is when we have the franchisor on the show is, you know, to describe a typical day. You know, I guess in this situation, it's different, isn't it? You know, for all your franchisees.
It is, but you know, a typical day when they're out working in the schools is, you know, they might go run by a couple of schools that they haven't, that they're not working with yet, and,
right.
and briefly present what we do and leave some information. And then the rest of the day they spend in and out of, you know, 8, 10, 12, 15 schools, depending on how close together they are.
Right.
Working on the machine, briefly servicing it. Replenishing it with new product, you know, rotating product and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, working to develop relationships in and out of those schools. It's pretty quick. It's, you know, it's a pretty busy day. But the beauty is that our machines only need to be seen so often. So it's
right.
not
yeah.
an all-encompassing thing like so many other businesses are. So it enables people to fit it into the cracks of their life on top of many other things that they're doing, you know, before they get involved with us in our business.
In studying your background, Matt, I mean, you certainly, you know, you have all the characteristics and traits of an entrepreneur. And I was mentioning to you earlier, you know, that we call our listeners, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. What advice would you give to them in their quest to buy a franchise? Because we find that there's so much out there today that, you know, we find that a lot of our listeners, they just don't even know where to begin because there's just, you know, all these different industries and it seems a bit overwhelming. So from everything that you know as an entrepreneur, what advice would you give them in their quest to buy a franchise?
First off, I would tell them to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do your research. There are a lot of opportunities out there, and because of that, take your time to find the right one.
Yeah.
Once you kind of zero in on that, then do your due diligence and take your time to make your decision. You know,
sure. Yeah.
I don't know the typical timeline for most franchises. I haven't been in the industry long enough to know.
Mm-hmm.
But typically our process of due diligence takes 6 to 8 weeks. You
sure.
know, we do you know, 6 interviews at least via video conference. And, you know, we spend a lot of time getting to know one another because to me, it's not just about selling a franchise. In fact, most of my business career with SSV, we weren't selling franchises. So this is all kind of a bonus to us.
Right.
And it also allows us to do business in a lot of states that we couldn't do business in before because of the
True.
Franchise and business opportunity laws. So it was a necessary thing for us, even though it wasn't something that I ever really planned to do. But I think something else that's very, 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 very important, and I encourage this big time because I want the right fit, is
Sure.
you need to reach out to existing franchisees at the stage of the interview process where that's allowed.
Mm.
And you need to take time to talk to them and pick their brains and find out the good, the bad, the ugly, find out a
sure.
lot of the details about their day to day, because that insight is probably the most valuable of all. You know, the franchise disclosure document in most cases is going to put you to sleep after 5 minutes just because of, you know, of the format and the legalese and all that.
Sure.
And it's a necessary evil to give people all the details that the government requires. But that being said, the real world comes from, quote unquote, interviewing the franchisees. And our team loves being able to share with folks and being able to pour into them and give them insights in order to make a right decision. And, you know, I guess I can't stress enough the importance of that, because you're making a long-term commitment.
Sure.
So make sure you've taken the time to talk to the folks that you need to talk to ensure that you're getting into what you really think you're getting into.
I know. I think that's great advice. And it seems like, you know, franchising is a great model for SSV. I mean, isn't it, Matt? I mean, this is a concept that is pretty much easily you can duplicate it pretty much anywhere and everywhere. You know, probably not even just the United States, but in other places as well. But it just seems like a great model for expansion, isn't it?
Yeah, I never did it to get to this point, Marty, to be honest. But about a year and a half ago, I had a conversation. I actually have a business coach, and he helps me work through a lot of different things. And he's got 36 years of business experience and multi-millionaire. And so I really value his insights. And so he was the one that kind of encouraged me to look into this direction.
Right.
And along the way, it's just been a perfect fit. Thankfully, because I was a pilot in the Air Force, checklists as a pilot, you live and die by.
Sure.
And there's, you know, the engine start checklist and the pre-taxi checklist and the taxi checklist and the before takeoff checklist and all those things. Well, because I spent 9 years of my life living that way and living in that world,
right,
I was putting systems in place for years to better provide value and to better support our team. So the transition to a franchise was actually pretty easy for us, because we had been doing all the things along the way that typical franchises have to do, not realizing that ultimately that's what we were doing them for.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
No, it does. It makes perfect sense. And that's what I got, you know, from reading your story, Matt. You know, it almost seemed like, you know, when you look at the picture now, you know, I guess when you were going through, you know, all of these different challenges, you know, it almost seemed like this was your destiny. You know what I mean? With you know, being in the Air Force and, you know, following systems, it almost seemed like you were groomed for this opportunity that you have today, weren't you?
But you know what, Marty, it's funny. I joked with somebody the other day. You know, it's the logical progression to go from Air Force Academy graduate and pilot to vending machine operator. I mean, isn't that the progression that anybody would go with?
That's great.
You know,
fantastic.
I think there's some people probably back home where I grew up that still are scratching their head wondering what the heck happened to me. But you know what? We're having more fun than we ever have.
That's
we're helping
great.
More people in more parts of the country than we ever have before. And when I was flying airplanes, I got the biggest kick and rush out of taking a student pilot and showing them how to fly. Mm. And over 6 months period, them going from not knowing anything about the airplane to going solo a month and a half later to getting their wings 6 months later. Well, when I got out of the Air Force, I lost that kick, that rush.
Yeah.
Well, my rush today is to see somebody who has no business background whatsoever in most cases, who has just had a corporate career but is looking for something more, and to teach them and to train them and to see them grow and flourish and their life change.
Right.
And their kids learn along the way and all that. And just to see that process is what I get up for every morning, is to experience that and to be just a little part of the success story that each of our franchisees have as they put this together.
Yeah, I imagine it must be an amazing feeling for you, Matt. So, you know, I can ask you the next question, you know, as the founder of the company. I mean, so, you know, what are the plans for School Spirit Vending? I mean, where do you see the company maybe like 3 to 5 years down the road, Matt?
You know, I would say within the next 2 to 3 years, we will have franchised the majority of the U.S. We're already doing laying plans to begin franchising in Canada probably this fall, and also have some interest in Australia. My guess is 3 to 5 years from now, we'll be doing what we do in you know, 10 or 15 countries. You know, we'll be in, man, 100,000 plus schools or so by then.
Sure.
Across those countries and have, you know, 300, 400, 500 franchisees at that point.
That's great.
But that being said, I'm very content where we are now. And, whatever happens, because, you know, we are a privately held company. We don't have any investors or anything like that.
That's great.
We can grow at an appropriate pace and not be forced to grow faster than maybe what we might like, and grow a little bit more organically than maybe some would. So there's a lot of peace in that. But there's a lot of excitement because of the opportunity that's available to our business team and of course to the franchisees that we're working with now or will work with in the future.
That's fantastic. And I guess your role changed a bit as well as the company continues to grow, Matt. You know, I mean, as you're, you know, hitting those numbers, you know, 3 to 5 years down the road, I suspect that your role will change a bit as well in the company, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was in the weeds just a few years ago. I've got 110 schools that I still run.
Wow.
You know, our quote-unquote, our corporate locations today. Of course, I've got folks that do all that servicing and all that for me now. And as time goes on, you know, my role shifts towards, you know, continuing to provide a better environment and put tools in place to create even greater success within our team, but also to even be able to give back more to our customers, which is the kids in the schools.
Sure.
I developed actually hired a couple of young guys here about 2 years ago who had done some graphic novels. And when I was growing up, reading comic books was one of the things that kind of inspired me to read. So we have started a comic book company, and we are starting here this next fall giving comic books away as part of our vends in many cases. We've started a program called Inspire a Kid, where we're beginning to put together audio and video and written content to help teach kids values and characteristics of successful people and things like that. So it's not just about selling a sticker to me. It's about changing lives for the kids that we work with and the families that we work with. So a lot more and more of my focus as time goes on will be on those things. And we'll have others on our team that will, you know, be responsible for a lot more of the day-to-day as we continue to grow.
It's a feel-good business, isn't it, Matt? You know, and that's one of the things that intrigued me about your whole model as well, is, you know, the ability to, yes, it's true, you can do very well financially with this type of business model, but I think the ability to give back is probably just as rewarding. I mean, the story you were telling with the whole Lice Kits, I mean, that, you know, really made an impression, you know, so that ability to give back is just as important, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool feeling. And like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, we've raised $3.5 million for schools, 50 cents at a time in 8.5 years. I mean, that blows my mind.
Sure, of course.
That we've had that big of an impact in such a short period of time. So I'm excited about where we head in that regard in the years ahead and you know, being able to make that much more of an impact for schools around the country.
That's fantastic. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on School Spirit Vending as a franchise, Matt? Is there any websites that you'd like them to go to? Any numbers that you want to plug?
Yeah, Marty, my email directly, if folks just have questions or whatever, is matt@ssvbusiness.com. And I actually have a free giveaway for your audience for anybody who's interested
would
like to learn a little bit more about vending itself. I wrote a short ebook. It's called Live Your Dreams, The Top 10 Reasons Why You Need to Own a Vending Business.
Right.
And for your audience, they can go to ssvbusiness.com/franchise interviews. And we've set up a page specifically for them to have an opportunity to get a hold of that ebook for free. And
wow.
then if they want to begin a dialogue to talk about just vending in general or to talk about the franchise model itself, we'd be happy to do that and see where things go.
That's fantastic. Well, I really thank you for coming on the show so early this morning, Matt. I really do appreciate it. And again, I love your concept and your business model. I think this is going to be really big. I've been doing this a long time now, so I was very excited to have you on the show. And I'd like to invite you back next year as you continue to grow. I think this is wonderful.
Yeah, Marty, I'd love to do it. Anything I can do to help, and appreciate the opportunity.
The pleasure has been mine, Matt. And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 8 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com. Or you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, this is Connie McDermott, Administrative Assistant for Franchise Interviews, LLC, and you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Today's great quote in franchising is being brought to you by
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com. Or call us at 561-385-3032.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott, the president of Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting Franchise Interviews many years now, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes and lessons on our show. And if you go to our About Us page on franchiseinterviews.com, you'll take notice on why we started the podcast and radio show Franchise Interviews, and it suggests that every business has a story. And that's really been our experience in doing all of these podcasts and radio shows. Is every show we do, you'll notice that every franchisor, every franchisee has an amazing story related to franchising. Today's Great Quote in Franchising podcast comes from Tony Luffy. And Tony Luffy is the Chief Executive Officer of the Marlowe Investment Group. And the Marlowe Investment Group are franchise owners of some very popular franchise systems such as Little Caesars, Sizzler, Jack in the Box, Arby's, Church's Chicken, and most recently Sears Appliance and Hardware stores. And Tony talks about the difference between opportunity and regret. There's another great quote relating to opportunity. And again, we talk a lot about opportunity on our weekly radio show. It's said that luck is when opportunity meets preparation. But let's hear what Tony says about the difference between opportunity and regret.
That we've been able to do on a large scale.
It's amazing. If you go back to the beginning, Tony, I mean, were your goals, I mean, today, I mean, you're as large as like 200 plus units. But I mean, back then, I mean, when you go back to the beginning, I mean, was that your goal in the beginning, or was this kind of like a, just like a natural progression over time?
It's both. Really, when I, in the early 90s, when I finally became a partner, a 10% partner of a small company, I wanted to get to 50 units before I turned 50. So I don't know if that goal was really feasible in my head, but that was the dream. But the goal, the most important part of it was I wanted to be an entrepreneur, I wanted to be independent, and I wanted to allow my ability to manage people and work with people to develop into something that was bigger. I didn't know the size, nor did I plan for it to be a, you know, a number of revenue, whether it's 10 million or 5 million, whatever it was.
Right,
it was
right.
Really finding a way to make a living and support my family at the same time satisfying my personal need, which is to be an entrepreneur. And really, once that took place, it was more about the opportunities that came our way. And I always say the difference between opportunity and regret is being ready. So if you're ready, you see the opportunity as an opportunity. Otherwise, you spend a lifetime regretting the fact that you missed the opportunity. So to me, it's about being ready. And I've always worked so hard to make sure that we are ready for whenever that opportunity came our way.
That's fantastic. We have this great quotes in franchising podcast. We're gonna put that quote in there, Tony, if you don't mind. I think that's very powerful. Maybe we could talk a little bit about your company. I mean, the Marlowe Investment Group. I mean,
if you'd like to hear that whole interview with Tony Luffy, all you have to do is go to franchiseinterviews.com, and you can go to our franchises listed alphabetically page and simply go to the Marlowe Investment Group, and you can hear that whole interview. We have that interview also in our About Us page, and you can go to Franchise Interviews by category as well and go under the food category, because that's where most of Tony's franchises are located within his portfolio. And lastly, we'd just like to thank everyone for making this podcast such a tremendous success. It's amazing how many people have listened to the podcast over the years. So it's really been wonderful. And we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.